بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I would like to welcome everyone to our live book reading of حياة الصحابة. We have reached volume 1, page 108. This is week number 12, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled us to keep these lessons going till this day also. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which we started, we did not have the power and the strength to start it. We didn't have the power and the strength to keep it going. But alhamdulillah, through the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the du'as of the people who have joined, and the du'as of the students and the people listening and joining, alhamdulillah, we have managed to keep going. And alhamdulillah, from these lessons, we get to learn a great deal from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the experiences of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. It gives us our opportunity to learn how to tackle the problems and challenges that we face. So let us start with the book reading on page 108. The da'wah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave to large gatherings. This chapter regarding, we've already covered the part where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was inviting certain individuals, or he was inviting two or three people. Now this is where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving an invitation to large gatherings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invites his close relatives to Islam, together with various tribes of the Quraysh, upon the revelation of the verse. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam climbed the hill of Marwa when the following verse of the Quran was revealed: Wa anzir ashiratakal aqrabin. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, first warn your closest relatives about the punishment due to those who reject Iman. This is in Surah Shu'ara, verse number 214. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he climbed the mount, the hill of Marwa. Many of us may have heard of the Mount Marwa, Safa and Marwa. These are the two mountains that are in Mecca, and also during the Umrah period, that we walk between these mountains. And that incident is to do with the story of Hajar alayhi salam, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that inshallah we can read about at another time. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam climbed this hill. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had received nabuwat. He was given prophethood. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at this time, he was not openly giving da'wat. He was not openly inviting people towards Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him in the Quran, through the verses of the Quran, that first go and invite your close family members. Invite the close family members to Islam. So this is where he got now the hukam of doing da'wah openly, that to invite people openly. So this is where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam now, he climbed the Mount of Marwa. So let's carry on reading. From the top of the hill, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called out, "O the family of Fahr." To this call, the Quraysh arrived. Abu Lahab bin Abdul Muttalib said, "The Fahr tribe are present before you, so say your peace." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called, "O the family of Ghalib." So the Banu Maharib and Banu Harith tribes, who were the descendants of Fahr, returned. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called, "O the family of Luwai bin Ghalib." So the Banu Taymul, Abram tribe, who are the descendants of Ghalib, returned. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called, "O the family of Ka'b bin Luwai." So the Banu Amir tribe, who are the descendants of Luwai, came. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called, "O the family of Marra bin Ka'b." So the Banu Adi bin Ka'b, the Banu Sham and Banu Sam, and the Banu Juma bin Amr bin Husay's tribes, who were all the descendants of Ka'b bin Luwai, returned. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called, all the family of Kilab bin Murrah. So the Banu Makhzum bin Yaqza and Banu Taym tribes, who are the descendants of Murrah, returned. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called, O the family of Qusay. So the Banu Zuhra tribe, who are the descendants of Qusay, returned. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called, O the family of Abd Manaf. So the Banu Abduddar, the Banu Asad bin Abdul Uzza, and Banu Abd tribes, who are the descendants of Qusay, returned. Abu Lahab then said, The Abd Manaf tribe are present before you, so say your peace. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then spoke, Allah has commanded me to warn my closest relatives, and you are the closest to me from among the Quraysh. I can do nothing on your behalf in the court of Allah, nor can I do nothing in your favor in the Akhirah, unless you say, La ilaha illallah. If you do so, I shall testify to this in the court of your Lord, in the court of your Rabb. At the same time, all the Arabs shall be in your control, and the non-Arabs shall be subservient to you. Abu Lahab retorted by saying, May you be destroyed. Have you called us for this? It was in response to this that Allah revealed the verse, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. May the hands of Abu Lahab be shattered, and may he be destroyed. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed the hill of Safa when the following verse of the Quran was revealed. وَأَنذِرْ أَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first warn your closest relatives about the punishment due to those who reject Iman. So here we have two different narrations that he climbed Mount Safa and he climbed Mount Marwa, Safa and Marwa. We have to understand that in those days, that when people had something important to say, they would find a place of importance and they would stand up and they would shout out to the people so the people gather. So the people gather so they can give their important message. So similarly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he chose this place to stand and call the different tribes. So all the different tribes came forward to that location. And then these different tribes, they asked, why are you calling us? Why are you calling us forward? So this is where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then informed them that I'm calling you towards the oneness of Allah, towards La ilaha illallah. And if you proclaim this and bring belief on this and bring belief on La ilaha illallah, that there's no God but Allah, then on the day of judgment, I will testify that you brought Iman. Upon this, Abu Lahab said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that may you be destroyed. Is this what you call, you gathering all of us here in front of you for this, to call us to the oneness of God? We have to remember a few things here. All of these, the people in Makkah, at that time there was also pilgrimage to Makkah, there was also a Hajj. Makkah was seen as a holy city. Makkah, it's not that Makkah became a holy city afterwards. Makkah was seen as a holy city. And the people of Makkah, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, they believed in other gods, gods that give sustenance, gods that give this. So they were believing in partners with Allah. This is why they were known as mushrikeen. You know, we hear the word mushrikeen in Makkah. This is why they were known as mushrikeen in Makkah. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had this task of calling the people, imagine how difficult this was, that he had to stand up and go against all the people. He had to stand up and call towards Allah and go against all the people. But he did not get scared. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us that this is leading by example. Let us keep reading, inshallah. He then called out, Ya Sabaha. In response to this call, everyone gathered around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some came themselves while others sent representatives addressing them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O the family of Abdul Muttalib, O the family of Fahr, O the family of Kaab, tell me, would you believe me if I told you that the enemy cavalry was preparing to attack you from the foot of this hill, meaning on the other side of this mountain? When they all responded in the affirmative, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I am then warning you of a severe punishment." Abu Lahab snapped, "May you be destroyed for all the day. Have you called us for this?" It was in response to this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, "Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. May the hands of Abu Lahab be shattered and may he be destroyed." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was known as a trustworthy person, Al-Amin. They used to call him Al-Amin. He was known as the trustworthy one. And when he called everyone, they all came. They all listened to what he had to say. And this is the da'wah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to his people, that you trust me, you believe in me. If I told you something, you would believe it. If I told you there's people on this side of the mountain and or on the other side of the hill and they want to attack you, you would believe me. So just like you would believe me in that, you would not doubt me, then I am informing you that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a great challenge for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we read this story, we think, okay, this was something easy. Today, how many of us can give da'wah to people? When we go, we meet other people. Giving da'wah to people who are not Muslims, that is far. People that we meet around us. People we meet around us, how many do we give da'wah to? Even in our conversations, how many times would we talk about something that comes back to Islam? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fikr, his worry, his concern was deen. His concern was how people can be saved from the fire of hell. How people can enter Islam and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then on the day of Qiyamah enter paradise. This was his fikr, this was his concern, this was his worry. Today, whatever our hobbies are, what our worries are, what our concerns are, this is what we will end up acting upon. If we are interested, if we are more motivated towards business and our mentality is about business, and even after work, we are always thinking about business. When we talk to people, we will talk about business. Similarly, if our interests are other things, other activities, our hobbies are other things, then when we meet people, we will talk about those things that we are interested in. This is why we have to make our interests, our concern, Islam. We have to make our concern that how can I come upon Islam? How can I hold on to deen? And when we have this fikr, when we have this concern, automatically when we are talking to people, deen will come out from our mouth. Islam will come out from our mouths. Islam will come out from our actions. This is not something that we can act. This is not something that we can pretend to do. This is something that will happen naturally. But when we are talking to someone, we will start talking about Islam. For this, we have to bring Islam into us. We have to bring Islam into our lives. Then naturally, we will start having worry and concern about other people. Naturally, we will start giving da'wah. Naturally, we will start calling towards people towards Islam. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we had mentioned in a verse earlier where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that hold on to the rope of Islam, hold on to the rope of Allah, meaning hold on to the deen. And when you hold on to the deen, you are doing the work of deen. Naturally, the people will come amongst us who will give da'wah towards Islam, who will give da'wah towards the right, and they will warn people of the wrongs. Why? Because now that deen will go into them, it will go into, it. You know, they say that this is now in our bloodstream. It's our what we think about when we wake up, when we sit down, when we walk, that how can I follow the deen? How can I bring Islam into our lives? And this is the worry and concern that we must build. And the only way to build it is by acting upon Islam. Let us keep reading, inshaAllah. The da'wah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to various Arab tribes during the Hajj season. Hazrat Abdullah bin Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave da'wah secretly for the first 3 years. It was during the fourth year that he openly began calling people to Islam. This continued for the next 10 years in Makkah. During this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited people to Islam wherever they stayed when they arrived for Hajj, even at the marketplaces of Uqaz, Majinna, and Dhil Majaz. He requested them to grant him asylum so that he could propagate the message of his mighty Rabb. promising them Jannah in return. However, he could find none to assist him. Eventually, he used to even find out about the place where each individual tribe stayed. When he finally reached the Banu Amir bin Sasa tribe, they ill-treated him like no other tribe did. When he left them, they actually threw stones at him. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam met the Banu Muharib tribe, he spoke to one of them who was an elder aged 120 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited him to Islam and requested that they offer him asylum so that he may propagate the message of Allah. However, the old man said, "O person, your people know your condition better. By Allah, whoever takes you back to their locality will have returned with the worst thing a person performing Hajj could return with this season. Stay away from us. Stay away from us." See how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not go to people and say, "Ah, you're wrong. Look what you're doing, you're wrong. How can you be doing this?" No, he gave them dawah because these people did not realize that what they were doing was wrong. He did not belittle them. No, he gave to them. He went to them and he continued going. For 3 years, he gave dawah secretly. And then the commandment came to openly give dawah. And this is when he started openly giving dawah. And when people used to come for Hajj, he used to go to where they were staying to the extent that now he knew where each tribe used to stay when they used to come to Makkah for Hajj. And he used to go there and give dawah for 10 years. For 10 years, he kept making this effort of giving dawah. First 3 years in secrecy, then 10 years in the open. And he used to go from tribe to tribe. And some tribe, and that one tribe, they even abused him. They threw stones at him. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not give up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not lose hope. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave dawah for those 13 years, but he did not lose hope. This is an example for us. Sometimes we make the effort of deen for 6 months and we say, no one is paying any attention. We cannot see any benefit and we lose hope ourselves. We don't lose hope on Islam. We lose hope or we cannot make a difference. Our responsibility is not to make the difference. Our responsibility is to make the effort. Just as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the effort. Look at Nuh Alayhi Salaam. He made the effort of deen for so many years. In the Quran, for 950 years, he made the effort of deen, calling people towards Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time made that effort. Today, how many Muslims are around the world? All around the world because of the fruits and the efforts of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. We will not realize who we are benefiting. We don't know. We may stand up and we may make an effort of deen. We may give some sadaqah to someone. That person may go and he may take some of that money and give sadaqah to someone else. And that person may buy some food and feed someone else. Now that small sadaqah that we gave to one person, how many people we benefited, we do not know. Allahu alam. How many people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefited through our action? How many rewards we may receive, we don't know. Similarly, how many people we may benefit from our actions, from our da'wah, from our calling towards Islam, we may not know and we don't need to know. What we need to know is that are we doing the work of deen? Are we calling towards Allah? Are we calling towards Islam? Let us keep reading, inshaAllah. All this while, Abu Lahab had been listening to the conversation. He approached the old man of Banu Muharib and said, "If all the people this season had been like you, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have forsaken the religion he practices. He is an irreligious liar." The old man said, "By Allah, you know him better, for he is your brother's son and your own flesh." Addressing Abu Lahab further, the old man said, O Abu Utbah, is he perhaps not insane? We have with us a man from the tribe who will know how to cure him." Abu Lahab gave no reply. However, when Abu Lahab saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing with a tribe calling them to Islam, he would shout out, "He is irreligious. He is a liar." This is the reception Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was getting. Today as well, when people are calling towards Islam, when people are calling towards the right path, They are warning that don't do this. This is no longer, this is not part of deen. This is part of deen. People call them out for liars also. We see it. People are warning us that, look, this path is going in the wrong direction. This path is going in the wrong direction. This is the direction of Islam. This is the direction of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is what Islam allows. This is what Islam permits us. They are warning us. Yet, there will be other people who will come out and say, oh, don't listen to them. These people, they are extremists. Don't listen to these people. They are extremist Muslims. This is what they are branding those people who are calling people back to the teachings of Islam as extremists. Oh, they are liars. Oh, they don't know the deen. Exactly that same taunt that was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We see it today. The same challenges that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam faced, the Muslims are facing today. The Muslims are facing these very challenges. And just as those mushrikeen, those people who are on the wrong path, what they faced challenges was to recognize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is correct, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying the truth, that what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is calling towards is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today as well, in this day and age that we live in, that we also are getting confused. Why? Because there are people now, there are so many different paths. There's so many different paths, and only a few of those paths are actually on the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. Only a few of those paths are on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And so many other paths have deviated from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. They have gone into their own justifications. And when people are warning people that, look, no, this is not Islam, they say, no, now times have changed. Now, times have changed. So we have to learn from, look, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling towards Islam. He was calling towards the one deen. He was calling towards that deen that leads us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, that hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put a time limit on this. No, we have to hold on to this deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We have to hold on to this deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Inna deena inda Allah Islam. That the only religion acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. And this religion of Islam, it will not change over time. It doesn't matter who stands up and says, this is permissible. No, we have to look back into the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to look back when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was put in certain circumstances. Did he disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even if the end goal was something good, did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in all situations, he stuck onto the path of deen, then this is our example and this is what we have to do. No question about it. This is where we have to clear our mind. We have to clear our sight and think, okay, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam steer off the path? No, he didn't. So we shall not steer off the path also. This is why there is so much confusion. There is so much differences, meaning those differences that are totally off deen, off Islam. They are labeled as Islam, but they are not Islam. And this confusion is being brought into Islam by Muslims, by people of ilm. This is why it becomes confusing for the general public, the layperson who looks and listens to all these talks online, the layperson who reads things on Google and other places. This is where he gets confused. And once we put our heart into someone, once we put our emotions and trust into someone, this is when we are putting ourselves in danger, because we may think we are following the deen of Islam, whereas we are following the deen of that person. We are following the deen of that person. Let's carry on reading, inshaAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, inshallah, I think we will end here, as this one is a bit of long, and inshallah we will continue from here next week. But we should take away from this, the lessons that we learn from this is that no matter our circumstances, no matter our situation, whatever situation we are in, that situation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that situation is good, whether that situation is bad, whether the situation in our eyes is a benefit or whether it is a disadvantage, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the solution will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what we do, the solution will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. That means if we do something good or we make effort in a good manner following the deen, then during these trials, during these circumstances, during these calamities, we will be rewarded. But if our effort involves the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still the same results will come, the same outcome will come. But in the process, we will become sinful. In the process, we will become sinful. And this is what we have to be careful of. We have to always check ourselves. We have to always refer back to the Quran, to the Sunnah, to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Constantly referring back and constantly doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ya Allah guide us. Constantly asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness so our heart can be purified. When our heart is purified, inshallah, we will be able to see what is right and wrong. It's very important to know one last point before we finish. That just because we are on deen, just because we are praying our salah, that doesn't mean that we will not come into afflictions. That does not mean that we will have an easy life. Our success in this world is when we die with iman, when we die as Muslims. This is a successful life. Regardless if we live a difficult life, regardless if we live in poverty, regardless if we live in pain, if we live in illness, that doesn't matter. What matters is how we live our lives. Meaning that do we live according to the teachings of Islam? Today we have this thought process that if I am praying my salah, that I am doing good in my life, that means I should get good in return in my life. No. Good in return is when we die with the kalima. This is the best gift anyone could have. Just look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did the work of deen. He was the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many difficulties did he go through? How many hardships did he go through? For how many years he went through so many hardships, so many challenges. And even if we look at Anbiya alayhi salam before that, how many challenges and how many hardships did they go through? If we look at the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how many hardships did they go through? How many problems did they go through? So many Sahaba radiallahu anhum were martyred. Some were assassinated. Were they not believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were they not abids? Were they not worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We do not measure our success by the good things that happen to us in our lives. Our success will be measured on the day of Qiyamah. We should be measuring our success by how well we stick on the path of Islam, but how well we stick to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how we measure our success. And our success on the day of Qiyamah will be measured when our book of deeds are put in front of us and our book of deeds will outweigh our bad deeds. Our good deeds will outweigh our bad deeds. Then we can say we are successful. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this realization that it doesn't matter what happens in our life, good or bad, what matters is how we handle it. How we live our lives according to the situation that we have been put in, according to our circumstances, according to our surroundings, according to what is happening around us, as long as we live our lives according to Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all the fitnas, from all the calamities that are happening in the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being a means of fitna, from being a means of being a troublemaker. آمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.